Good evening, Bride of Christ. My name is Vilio, and it's a massive privilege for me to be here today and to be able to share in understanding God's word with us today. I'd like to open for us in prayer before we dive into Acts chapter 22. Now, if you've been following, journeying with us this past month, we've been digging into Acts and really being challenged of what the early church looked like and the cost that they so often had to pay for the advancement of the gospel. And chapter 22 continues in this vein. And my hope, my prayer, my desire is that the word that we receive today, that we'll be able to apply it in our lives daily. So I'm going to open for us in prayer. Father, we exalt your name, we give you praise, and we approach your word, Father God, with humility, with fear. And we pray, Father, transform us, transform our hearts, and remind us, even now as we listen together, Father God, Lord, we pray, transform us, remind us of things that we may have forgotten, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we'll pick up the narrative in verse 8 of chapter 22, but just before we get to that, just to recap on the previous chapter. So in chapter 20, we saw the Apostle Paul basically say farewell to the elders in Ephesus. And it's this emotive moment where he says, I'm not going to see you again. And their hearts were really broken, and they were sad. But just the verses before he says goodbye to them, he says that, I don't know what, and I'm paraphrasing now, but I don't know what's waiting for me wherever I'm going, but the Holy Spirit tells me that in every city, persecution and tribulation are waiting for me. And he says this in the context of journeying towards Jerusalem. And in chapter 22, we see him finally arrive in Jerusalem. And the religious authorities are, of course, in Jerusalem. So the Sanhedrin and all these religiously, revered, religiously authoritative people. And he has to address a mob in Jerusalem, which was actually, which had arrested him. So he was arrested and then a mob gathered and he addresses the crowd in this mob now. And this is where we pick up the story in verse 8, where the Apostle Paul shares part of his testimony, because on the road to Damascus, as we would know from earlier chapters in Acts, he had an encounter with the living God and his life changed completely. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, please follow together as we read from verse 8. So I answered, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will, and see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth, for you will be his witnesses to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance, and saw him, him being the Lord, saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. Amen. We're going to park it there for now. And I remember reading this actually yesterday as in preparation, reading through this passage and just being so reminded that, you know what, reading this account, this testimony of Paul's life, that this is so true for us. And this is our testimony, in that we were running away from God going into the opposite direction, actually persecuting his people and being against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he saved us on the road to Damascus. And the message that I feel to share this day is that we as believers must not let go of our testimony. We must never forget where the Lord saved us, where he called us from. And there's different things which cause us to, in a sense, let go of our testimony, whether it's the testimony of salvation or testimonies of the Lord having done something in our lives, which left us in awe and which caused us to worship him. There's several things, and we see it in the life of Paul, that there was opposition because of his testimony. And at the stage, if you read on in the same chapter, the people stopped listening to his testimony, and they actually wanted to take his life, saying that he's not worthy to live because he was sent to the Gentiles because of association to people who were seen by the Jews as being unclean. And similarly for us, the things that so often cause us to let go of our testimony is when people respond negatively to it. So whether it's a testimony of salvation or testimony of the Lord's healing, when people respond negatively, then it's like we want to let go of it, and we become shy in a sense to share it again because this was the response that came last time. But we see in the life of Paul repeatedly him being beaten, him being, you know, persecuted for this message of Jesus Christ, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's crazy, like immediately after being released from prison, then he would go again and continue to testify. And I'm just thinking, how can you do that? Like, this is the thing that got you in prison, but immediately you know? And for us as well, we need to have that stubbornness of holding on to our testimony. And I remember a few years ago, my cousin tried to take her life, and she drank a lot of pills. Long story short, ended up in the intensive care unit in the hospital, unconscious for 3 days, comatose. And we were like sure she was going to die. In fact, it was the village, and a friend of hers went to her room in the village and took all her clothes because everyone thought she was going to die, like certainly die. Even the nurses were just waiting to take her to the mortuary, to the place where they put dead bodies. But as the Lord would have it, an aunt of mine went to that hospital in northern Namibia and prayed for her. The next moment she began to vomit because the pills had already dissolved in her stomach. But the next moment she began to vomit these pills, and all this white foam came out of her mouth. And the Lord, in a sense, resurrected her. And when she stood up in the hospital, the nurses actually ran out of the room because they couldn't believe that this girl was still alive. And I remember sharing this story immediately after it happened, with a professor at university in a classroom context, and almost their response being one of, you know, looking at me as though I was foolish or this was ridiculous or so far-fetched because it breaks the boundaries of science or whatever. And in that moment, there was a bit of a, you know, taken abackness, like, yeah, maybe I mustn't share this because people are going to respond in this way. But the fact is, she's alive today, and every time I see her, I call her Lazarus, because we don't forget that moment that happened. And she saw, she had visions and saw a lot of things during those 3 days that she was unconscious, which caused her to turn to the Lord and to cry out to the Lord. And that's one of the reasons that we often let go of our testimonies, when people react negatively. And secondly, sometimes because of the implications of our testimonies, we don't share them. Because if it's true that God set me free from this and from this and from this and from this, then it means that the people who are around us, there has to be a response. Either we are lying and it's not true, or they have to respond to this good news of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, the reason we often let go of our testimonies is because we become busy. And we lose sight of what is truly important. We forget what God did. And these things sometimes don't happen every day. and we get discouraged. But I want to encourage us this day that the same God who did it then is the same God who we're still serving now. Let us not lose our childlikeness. Let us be stubborn, as we see in the life of Paul, in holding on to our confession and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, whatever the cost. I'd like to pray for us. Father, we exalt you. We give you praise. We pray for boldness, Father, to share our testimony. We pray, Father, for just a remembrance, Father God, of the things that you've already done in our lives. And yeah, we pray, Lord, be exalted and be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and be bold in sharing the testimonies of what the Lord has done.